Blog Talk Radio.
This is the EWN Radio Network. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
Hi, this is Steve. Welcome to another exciting episode of Thriving Entrepreneur. Let me ask you a question. Are you financially literate? Do you work for your money, or does your money work for you? May seem like a funny question, but a lot of us find ourselves in a place where rather than having our money flowing, our money becomes the biggest issue in our lives and in our business. And so today, we want to take some time to really talk about what it means to be financially literate. That means not just being able to, you know, look at your bank balance and know that you do or don't have money in the account, but rather everything that's involved in having a plan for your financial future and, more importantly, for your financial now. I invite you to listen in as I'm joined by my special guest, Roger Silvera, and he is going to help us learn today how to have cash flow and be financially literate. So, Roger, if you could, if you will just tell us a little bit about yourself, what your company does, and what brought you to this point.
Well, yes, thank you, Steve, for the opportunity to be highlighted here. Originally from New York City, I've been in financial services for 16 years, I'm really passionate about financial literacy, where my role and my vision is to help free as many families, small businesses, entrepreneurs, and professionals as possible, and helping them understand really what it truly means to be financially literate. Because one of the things that I really see quite often is the high level of financial illiteracy that is going around in the world today. And that's just not from people that don't make money. That's from people also that do make money. And really helping people truly understand what it means to have money work for them on a consistent basis and to grow it and protect it. I got here really in a sense because I was truly passionate about entrepreneurship. And as I continue to grow as a financial professional, I just recognized that there was a growing need in the marketplace, a glowing need into where my skill sets and talents could be of value to people. And in that in mind, just recently I just put together a movement called Cash Flow to Cash Flow, which essentially what that means is that helping families, professionals, entrepreneurs, and small businesses, helping them to understand truthfully how their money works so they can make clear and concise financial decisions free of opinion, which too often or not, if you've ever been exposed to the financial space, there's a million and one people that want to give you opinions about their money and about your money. And I recognize that as sort of a challenge for people because there's such an inundation of information out there, and a lot of people don't understand, number one, how it works, or two, what to believe. And if those are prevalent in somebody's mindset, it makes it impossible for somebody to make clear decisions. They're kind of basing it on a hope and a prayer. And as you know, a hope and a prayer never helps us reach our full financial potential. And so that's really the essence and the core of the passion that I have for financial literacy and why I want to create this movement called Cash Flow to Cash Flow, really meaning cash flow in terms of people's mindset, the actual tangible results that they're getting aren't conducive or aren't proficient to help them get to the stage where it is proficient their mindset is where it needs to be, so they can truly reach and maximize their full potential.
I like that. You use a phrase several times in there that I really like. It's the phrase financial literacy. Can you give me a definition? What would you define as being financially literate?
Well, it goes beyond just the basics, but it starts with the basics. And, you know, really, truthfully, there's a lot of people out there that don't know how to balance even a checkbook. And, you know, they can balance everything else from a vacation, but they can't balance a checkbook, ironically. And one of the things I see is that people don't understand the three phases of their entire financial life. And I kind of start there. I start with protection, savings, and growth. And helping people understand, it's kind of like the building blocks of a house. And fundamentally, you have to build it on sound foundation. You know, is your house built on bricks versus sand? And most people's financial house is built on sand. And it's because we are taking constant advice from people that essentially are perceived as experts, but in a sense are only giving opinions based on what they know. And, you know, for people that even work in a corporate setting, as an example, they'll have a person that comes into their place of employment talking about retirement benefits, and they may spend maybe 10, 15 minutes that are going over their choices and selections, and after that, they never see that person. And they're left more confused than what they were, you know, before. And so that's one of the things that really irritates me about the way planning has been done, is that it's all segmented, and there's never a strong foundation for people to run from. So in the work that we do, which is called personal financial economics, we teach people actually how to set a solid foundation for people's financial life to really be on solid ground. Can they make clear decisions? Can they build their house where they know that, you know what, 20, 30, 40, 150 years from now, when they're dead and gone and they're passed on those assets to the next of kin or charity, generations upon generations, that money was structured in a way where it was proficient. While they were living, they understood what was going on. And when it was passed on in the most efficient manner. That's kind of where we come up with the phrase generational wealth, right? But we don't get the generational wealth unless you understand the basics, which is really the blocking and tackling of personal finance. In a sense, it's really understanding protection, savings, and growth.
Protection, savings, and growth. So would you say that those are the three main pillars of having a good financial platform, as it were?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you don't have solid protection, it's like building your house, your dream home, on a bunch of sand, all right? Or worst case scenario, on a sinkhole. Right? I live in Florida. So we have a lot of sinkholes here in Florida, right? And so you're building your house on a sinkhole. Well, guess what? You're going to see cracks in the tile eventually, right? And, you know, now all of a sudden you're spending out more money because your house was never built on the solid foundation to begin with. And, you know, so we look at a couple different arenas from protection. We look at their asset protection, right? For example, if they were to severely injure somebody in a car accident and somebody came out after them and sued them, right? How would they be protected in that occurrence, right? That's why we have car insurance. That's why we have homeowners. That's why we have liability insurance. Then talking about disability income, which we talk about protecting somebody's personal income. See, that's the greatest asset right there. Everyone says your greatest asset's a house. No, it's not. It's your ability to produce an income. That's your greatest asset. If you cut the money machine off, then guess what? Now, all of a sudden, you have nothing. All right, so that is the biggest asset. So we spend a lot of time educating clients about how to properly protect their income. Major medical, how to ensure that in case if you were ever to be stricken with a cancer or a debilitating illness, that doesn't destroy your entire financial life savings, right? we all have heard the term Social Security, how to maximize your Social Security benefits, right? Living wills and living trusts, okay? I am not an attorney, so I cannot give legal advice. But one of the things we do is we have attorneys that we work with that absolutely have the ability to do that, and we want to make sure that, number one, these folks that we are working with have a solid structure when it comes to their medical decisions. If something, they were become incapacitated, they have the right instructions laid out. Their assets are dispersed properly, let's say in the form of a living trust, right? Different types of ownership, right? If they own a business, you know, how should they own that business? Whether, you know, what's right for them, right? So we interface with their different advisors, whether it be their CPA, their attorney, their banker. And this is where it makes sense then at that point, because they feel like, you know what, they're the centerpiece of the team, okay? They're the coach, and you got all the players in the team. And all we do is run the plays. But we run the plays. We're showing the coach, saying, listen, you know, it's kind of like Peyton Manning, right? Peyton Manning actually calls a lot of the plays in football and for his team because he's so good at what he does. So it's kind of like that scenario where we're actually calling the plays and we're making the coach look good, all right? But the coach has the final say. They have the veto power, all right? And then, of course, we talk about life insurance and how important life insurance is to the entire mix and how important it is to building and creating wealth and protecting wealth, for that matter.
That makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of times people avoid money is really the only word I can think of. It's like if we just put the future off even for one more day, somehow there's a victory in that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've seen far too many people that for them, anything to do with their money, their accountant, their financial planner, all of those people, it's that one thing that they don't want to know about. And I think maybe one of the best pieces of advice that I got early on in business was, no matter what, you know, you want to have a bookkeeper, you want to have an accountant, you want to have those kind of things, but you need to understand your cash flow. You need to understand where's the money coming in at and where is the money going out to, so that you don't wake up one morning and there's no money there and you don't have any idea why. This is perhaps one of the most important parts in our life and in our business, is knowing and tracking our money. So I'm going to have you think a little bit here during this commercial break about your money. Where does it go, and how much of control are you of it, or how much of control is it of you? Listen to this commercial, and we will be right back on Thriving Entrepreneur.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority? Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people if you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets?
What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Will you be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people. Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret. Get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com and click on the authority package to get yours today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. You're listening to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thank you for joining us today. I'm joined with my guest, Roger Silvera, and we are talking about your financial literacy. Do you have cash flow or do you have cash slow? So we want to talk a little bit more about that with you, and we want to really help you identify how great your life can be when you are financially literate and when your money is working for you.
Exactly.
So talk to us about the biggest advantage. What would be the biggest advantage that a person can find themselves in when they embrace being financially literate?
Well, number one, they can embrace being unstoppable in terms of knowing what they know. So you can't debate upon facts. You can't. No one can knock you off your box if you know exactly, you know, what was going down. No one can try to pull a fast one on you when you're in the know. And it's amazing me how many people that are so bewildered by this stuff, and they end up doing nothing. That is probably the worst thing they can do, is do nothing. You know, sometimes you have to take a step out on faith, and it's a calculated step on faith. I'm not talking about a blind one. But here's the thing that I would tell people. I was like, the worst thing you can do is doing nothing, right? If you've got an understanding of how the structure works, if you understand what your financial planner is telling you and that it makes sense and you can see tangible results being generated from that particular move, then it's worth exploring and worth implementing that. If you don't understand it, then I would say definitely not, because if you're under duress or if you're under confusion, you cannot make clear decisions. So there's no way that you should be implementing anything if you're not clear. And so for me, I constantly reinforce with my clients, and I ask them, look, you know, how does this feel to you? You know, what particular don't you understand or do you understand about this? What can we go over together that will help you? Because it has to be right in their heart. If it isn't, we don't move it. So
could you give me an example of one of your clients specifically and the transformation they've gone through from total confusion to financial literacy or whatever?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, I can't share anything in terms of names or anything because of confidential nature, but one of the things I will share with you is that I have a client in Delaware that I'm working with now, that simply, you know, their biggest thing is they want to learn. They want to learn something. And, but they're still, you know, they've been confused for a long time. They just don't know what you know, how things work. Because they haven't been taught that. So they don't know what they don't know. But through the process of two sessions that we've had, they feel like now they're in a position where they can implement moves for their family that are clear. And they felt like, you know what, we've been empowered to make clear decisions, because in reality we use their whole entire financial situation now as a benchmark. We're not trying to predict something or put some sort of pie in the sky type of deal in the future that says, well, if you put X amount of dollars away right now, here's your goal that, you know, that we're trying to accomplish. None of that stuff. Because in fact, to be quite frank with you, that all that stuff is a bunch of hogwash. It's irrelevant, and it's so deficient, it's ridiculous. Financial planning has failed the American public. Let me repeat that. Financial planning has failed the American public, and here's why. Because the way it's constructed, okay, is based on predictions of the future, utilizing mathematics as a benchmark. And when you try to predict something in the future utilizing math, we're not taking into consideration taxes, inflation, or all these changes, all right? We're kind of saying, okay, well, based on this arbitrary goal that we have to kind of, you know, set aside this amount of money per month in order for us to reach that goal long term. Where people are kind of confused at that point. They're like, well, I don't have this type of discretionary income to do that, right? Instead of utilizing their own situation, right, their own situation and measuring, look, we want to make tangible progress. If we can make tangible progress each and every year, no different from the way you would look at a business, then now you're starting to see not only your knowledge base increase, becoming more financially literate, but also the results that come out of that, you're seeing increases every single year, potentially. You know, obviously we don't want to put money at risk, but we want to show you how your financial position can be improved year after year after year after year by doing something that's very simple, right? Simple strategies yield effective results, not some sort of pie-in-the-sky type of thing that may never hold to be true. And it's just a wrong way of looking at personal finance altogether. So hopefully that makes sense.
I loved a couple of the things you said in there. You used the phrase tangible progress. I like that, you know, because I think, you know, and just to be real open about it, my dad has been a financial planner. I mean, he's a pastor, but in order to pay the bills, he spent several years selling different financial investments of some sorts. And one of the things that I know from working with insurance men and things like that back in the late 80s and early 90s is that it's not tangible for people. The laptop computer helped a little bit. You know, they could show them some charts and graphs and some ideas and concepts, but it isn't tangible. So what do we do to make the progress tangible?
So let me just make sure I understand the question. So what ways can we make the process tangible? Is that the question?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in order, and for us to do that, we have to have some sort of measuring stick and some sort of measuring gauge. All right. I like to kind of use a model, and for proprietary reasons, I won't name the model at this point because I only do that with private clients, but we utilize some sort of model, some sort of gauge and measurement in order for us to help our clients make clear decisions. When they see something visually, typically, and people are mostly visual learners, mostly, all right? I mean, you get auditory listeners and stuff like that, but most part, I'm a visual person. So when I see something that is tangible and have my own numbers on it, and I can see how the different pieces of the puzzle move, it makes me more excited because now I can see how I can improve my situation versus looking at a bunch of arbitrary numbers on a pretty pie chart and graph that, in a sense, doesn't mean a doggone bit of thing to me, right? Because you know, it's not taking into consideration real life. It's just kind of predicting what the future might be. And I don't like to predict anything. You know, I like to go off of what's real. So in order for our people to achieve tangible results, they have to measure strategies side by side. And the way to do that effectively is to have some sort of model, or to draw up some sort of model, you know, to where, you know, your protection is on the foundation of the house. And if you wanted to, you know, create a triangle, like your protection is on the foundation, then savings, and then growth. But most people, you know, invert it, all right? They think growth is at the very center, because they're thinking about investments and things of that nature. I don't think anybody should be considering any type of investment vehicle unless the protection's right. If their protection is flawed, we shouldn't be having a discussion about investments. We should be focused on protection and getting that right. That's the foundation of the house.
So what would you advise to a person who, you know, has gotten a lump sum of money and is looking at the stereotypical life insurance policy or investment portfolio or what have you? What would be the first thing you would advise to them that they really should know before they make a decision?
Well, I know that's a very loaded question, and what I would say to that is that it's not a one recommendation that I can give, because obviously that's going to be on a per-client basis. But let's just say, for example, it's really understanding where they are first, assessing what we call their present financial position, and how does the new influx of money going to assist them in generating the types of results that they want. The first thing is we assess where they are first, because unless we get a composite viewpoint of where they are, then to answer that question is kind of like malpractice, because it's like lead the blind leading the blind, right? You know, I want to make sure that I understand where any deficiencies lie first. You know, and then how does the new influx of money make a difference when it comes to two things, cash flow and protection? That's the only reason that you would make a financial move. That's it. You don't make any financial move other than the fact that you are looking to increase your cash flow, meaning that your assets. When we talk about, you know, wealth accumulation, you know, people will use the term net worth, and net worth is an illusion. It's an illusion because unless it's producing cash flow, it is absolutely, you know, irrelevant. So people say, well, Roger, I have $1 million of land, and, you know, it's part of my net worth. I was like, yes, it technically is. It's like a stock, all right? A stock is a piece of paper, but a piece of paper is irrelevant unless it's cash flowing, right? Cash is the measurement by which we go from, right? But to answer your question, everything is stemmed around their present financial position.
I like that. I like the concept of taking each person as an individual. I think I've personally, at least, have experienced that there is a lot of cookie cutter nature about a lot of the ways investment people look at. You know, I mean, they talk about you know, your personal individual plan, but it's amazing how often, you know, one person's personal individual plan ends up being exactly the same plan as the last five people's individual personal plan was.
It's true. It's very true. And you brought up a great point, because the investment advisor is typically paid via assets under management. And because they're paid as such, they're kind of forced, their hand is forced, especially if they work for the bigger firms. I'm not trying to name drop because That's not the relevancy of this conversation. It's more so helping you understand, look, when you go to an investment advisor, their job is to manage your money, and the more money they manage, the more they get paid. So people that manage $100 million, $200 million, $500 million in assets get paid a tremendous amount of money, all right? But at the end of the day, they have pre-designed portfolios that they kind of have their firm has put together, or maybe they've constructed over time because they've got the experience at this point to do so. or can be custom, but typically a lot of it's cookie cutter. And it's based on risk tolerance, and it's based on this other stuff about diversification, which, again, is all micro. All right, it's all micro. When we do planning not only micro, but we also do it macro. What do I mean by that? So when we look at your whole entire financial life on one sheet of paper, and we look at, okay, how does any move that you make affect each of the different areas of your life? So if you made a move in protection, how does that move actually affect savings? And there are many different aspects of that can take place. For example, I recently did a client where we moved some money into permanent life insurance. And that actually helped her build some tax-free savings. But it hit protection and it hit savings by that one money move. And that money move actually helped them increase their cash flow and increase their protection. So that's the only reason that you would make a money move. If either one of those characteristics are not prevalent, then it's not an efficient deal.
How many of you just learned something in there? How many of you have been to a financial advisor and the very first thing they talk to you about is the growth of your money? And yet maybe the last thing, if not at all, that they've talked to you about is the protection, the security of your money. Now, I'm not talking about a bank vault or that, you know, somebody's going to walk in and take your money off the table, but about your money really truly being protected and vested for the future and not just out that. Think about that while we take this break, and we will be right back on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best-kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority? Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people if you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets? What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Will you be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people. Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, As a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret. Get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com and click on the authority package to get yours today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve, and I'm here with Roger Cervera, and we are talking about your financial literacy. Are you financially literate? Now, we've talked about some really good things in the past clips, things about keeping your money safe. But sometimes we don't listen to the advice that we're given. Sometimes we don't heed the warning, and we find ourselves with our money not in such a secure place. Those are not the kind of things we want to fear anymore. We want to actually come up with solutions so that we're making sound investments, we're making wise choices, and we are learning every day how to be more and more financially literate. It isn't a place that you start at, it's a journey that you take throughout your life of financial literacy. So let's look at it from the other direction.
Sure.
You know, I like to always do kind of the takeaway, if you will. I'm sure you have experienced over the years some people who disagree with you. So let's talk about what ends up happening to a person when they just go with the flow and they're not financially literate.
Well, they get bad advice. They're confused. A confused mind does nothing. But then the worst case is bad advice. And then it's kind of like a junk drawer. If you have a junk drawer in your house, you kind of know what I'm talking about. All messy, discombobulated. This is what people's financial life looks like. And by not being financially literate, that's what happens to people. Is that it's a bunch of stuff because, again, planning is based on needs and goals, and it's segmented. So cash flow management, estate planning, retirement planning, all these different things, plan for emergencies, all this other stuff, right? And it's kind of like you got to get a big, when we were kids, we played, you know, puzzles, you know, and the puzzle pieces are all on the table. Well, that's great, but, you know, how do we create a picture? Well, it's hard to create a picture when you're confused. And that's what most people are right now. They're confused. And it's not because they don't want to know. It's because they're getting the wrong types of information. You know? I call these people on TV the gurus. And the gurus love to share information based because they have cachet in the market. They have so much influence. They have many, many followers and listeners and stuff like that. And they're there to sell their product. They're there to sell their product. And most people don't have no clue about that because they're like, well, you know, how can you help little old me? How can you help little old me? And these people, for the most part, are in desperate situations. They, you know, and because they've gotten bad advice. And they're there at that point with no one to turn to. I don't think it should ever get to that level because, number one, I think if you take the reins for yourself, you should never find yourself in that position. Secondly, is you got to align yourself with the right people. Align yourself with the right people, a good CPA, a good attorney, a good investment advisor, a good insurance professional. These are people that can help you, guide you, but it's not going to be, you know, totally telling you what to do. It's you're going to have to drive a lot of the car yourself, too. You're going to have to educate yourself. And that's where becoming financially literate makes sense.
What would you say is the worst-case scenario of not
embracing financial literacy?
Being broke.
Okay. I just know that, you know, over the course of life, there are a lot of people that, you know, they have what I'll call not necessarily wealth, but abundance in their life. You know, life is flowing well for them. And there's a lot of people that have an enormous amount of income, but they still don't have quite enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you get somebody that's making, you know, $500,000 a year, they're just broke on a higher level because they're taught they're spending more than what, you know. You know, it's funny because, you know, from a personal experience, that happened to me, you know, with credit cards. And, you know, it was because my financial thermostat wasn't high. You know, I was doing things out of subconsciously that were just dumb. And it wasn't until I actually had an awakening, you know, it really helped me understand truthfully, okay, well, Roger, you can't keep making these same mistakes. And it put me in a lot of financial pain, but it taught me the importance of really having structure and understanding that my wants and my needs are different. And, you know, the things that we need are for necessities, right? Majority of the stuff out there is wants. Right, and I think the biggest thing is that people love to show off. And I'm not saying don't have nice stuff. Please don't take that wrong. I love to have nice stuff, but it's a matter of, you know, are you doing it in the right way? And most people don't. When they it's like look at professional athletes. Look at Allen Iverson as an example. Right, Allen Iverson made millions of dollars as a professional basketball player, but got to the point where he was sitting, I think. I don't know if he was sitting in front of a judge or whatever the case may be, but he had sat in front of somebody and said, I don't even have money for a cheeseburger now at this point. How does somebody get from there to there? Well, it's because of being financially illiterate. Mike Tyson is another example. They took advantage of him, right, because he was financially illiterate, right? These are examples of high-profile celebrities and athletes that, because of the fact that they don't know what they don't know, when they come into all this money, they're not able to handle it because they don't have the foundation set internally. And one thing I believe is that God won't ever put no more abundance in your life if you can't handle the little that you have. You know? So that's just my personal opinion on that.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that was sharing his financial story. He's actually a former NBA player, and he talks about the fact that he came home from one of the leagues. He actually played both here in the U.S. and over in Europe, and one of the times when he took a hiatus, he came home with $30,000, and this is in the, you know, late 70s. So, you know, not a bad amount of money for a person to exist on until they get a job and stuff like that. And he literally spent it all within like 10 days because he had never understood the concept of using money for anything other than to have fun at every minute of his life while the money was there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the thing is, You know, there's not, you have a finite amount of money. You know, even a person like Donald Trump has a finite amount of money. You know, if he went on, you know, $50 million excursions, you know, every week, I'm sure that at some point he would be broke if he just did that. You know, so I don't care how much money somebody has, it can be lost. Right. Due to stupidity, and that comes down to financial illiteracy. Is, you know, now here's the thing, you know, I take somebody like that because he was able to get it back. Now their thermostat is high because they know how to make the money out. They can get back to that level. He had been bankrupt before and got back to where he was, you know, being a billionaire, right? So, but most people, that would never be the reality. You know, you get, you know, a lot of winnings of $10 million, and all of a sudden now you're broke. They'll probably never, ever see that money ever again in their life, ever.
Hmm. And I think that comes back to what you were talking about earlier. Ultimately, it has to do not with what you have saved or even what you have, you know, that's going to be saved, as much as what do you have that you can bring in an income. And, I mean, that's really what separates Donald Trump is, yes, he declared bankruptcy, but then the next day he went back out and he started creating income and cash flow.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. As long as you know how to create income and cash flow, then you can learn the skill sets of keeping it. You know, that can be a learned trait and skill set. But again, it has to come from the right sources. Not everybody is an expert. Not everyone is somebody that can be trusted. And that's why a lot of these gurus out there, everyone tries to get out there and claim they are a financial expert. And I always tell people, look, my opinion is per se is not, I always like to tell people, don't take my opinion. And you're like, why? Don't you get paid to give your opinion? No, I get paid to give you sound financial counsel. In a sense where you're basing everything on fact, all right? I'm giving you guided options based on years of experience and based on the relationships that I've built. And that's a difference between just somebody just blindly giving you an opinion because they want to make a lot of money, and which is true. You can make a ton of money in financial services, but I think there needs to be more accountability in the way advisors do their dealings, and I think there's too many advisors in this industry altogether, because the barrier of entry is very, very easy. So you get people that really shouldn't be here that make a bad name, and that's why you see people good people get hurt. You know, I've seen seniors, you know, get put into the worst investments possible and lock up their money for 15 years, and they never knew. They never knew. They were blind to the beginning. That's where I say financial literacy counts, because if somebody is capable of controlling you that badly, that to me is concerning, and there's too many people, good people, getting hurt by that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. My wife's mom, when we we're finally at a place where my wife started helping her mom manage her finances, we found that the financial planner, as it were, you know, was doing some things that weren't really to her benefit. I mean, they were very beneficial to him, but they weren't really to her benefit. You know, and it's really sick to see, you know, I mean, it's their job and it's how they make income, but there are people that you can put your trust in, and there's others that you really shouldn't.
Nope. Not at all.
So I think that's the perfect segue to, you know, talk for a couple of seconds about what a person who's like, okay, I'm at X level of financial literacy, whether that be zero or whatever you rate yourself at, and I'd like to learn more. I'd like to become more financially literate. Roger, how could a person, you know, go further with you, work with you, and become more financially literate?
Sure. Number one, I do everything on a per appointment basis, and so everything that we do is in stages. The first stage is a discovery session where we get to learn a little bit more about you, you know, who you are, you know, really what is concerning you. You get to ask questions about me, and you know, the type of work that we do. You get to see the type of work that we do visually. That way you can come out of there with some clear answers to questions that you may have had, you know, how we get paid and all that good stuff. The second is really more of a fact-finding type of process, to where we need to understand, you know, it's kind of like a doctor has an x-ray. right? In order for them to put the X-ray, they have to have some sort of, you know, facts and information. So that's what we need to see too. You know, we need to see that and be able to assess that. Not just the actual numerical stuff, but actually diving deeper into, you know, the who, what, I call it the who, what, where, why, and how of the whole deal. You know, why did you make this type of move? You know, when did you make this type of move? You know, how long has it been since you reviewed this move? All this other stuff. Then the final session that we look at is more of a implementation phase, where at that point, it's perceivable that, you know, obviously we've got a good working rapport and things of that nature. And what we do is, if there's different layers of recommendations, we'll implement the ones that are most pressing to make sure that they understand the urgency behind that. And then, of course, then migrating into more things that can be done in a different session, but ultimately bringing it all together in a holistic fashion. So that's kind of our process and what we do. I have a blog out there that I'm also a blogger, that I write about financial literacy and things of that nature. And I believe financial literacy comes in two parts. Number one is personal financial strategies, all right? And then secondly, it is entrepreneurship and helping people create more income, all right? Helping people create more income. And I have found that the best way to do that in this environment is through home business. And so a lot of our blog articles are catered toward talking to people about financial literacy, but then we talk about entrepreneurship and home business and how they can get even their voice and their messages heard out there in the marketplace by working a business from home, increasing their income, and being able to solve a need in their marketplace for whatever they do.
So where would they find your blog at?
Yes, sir. It's www.rogersilveraonline.com.
So that's rogersilveraonline.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Want to make sure I spelled your name right.
Yep,
Roger SilveraOnline.com. I encourage everybody, of course, obviously, to check that out and to see what you can do to raise your financial literacy, your financial IQ. So, Roger, we like to be good teachers. We like to make sure that we always leave people with some things that they can do. So what would be the top that a person should do right now to begin to become financially literate? Can you talk a few minutes about that for us?
The first thing I would say is to be around people that have already done what you want to do, is establishing a network of quality people that actually have and have kept, for that matter, the money and the wealth that you desire. And getting personal recommendations to their advisors, their CPA, their attorneys, their insurance people, their investment advisors. What have they done to create not only the income that they have, but also the wealth that they have? I would say that would be a great starting point. If you didn't know where to start, I would definitely not look on the internet until you actually talk to people personally that, you know, had what you want, because there's a myriad of different things on the internet, and you can't tell if anything's real or fake. And with actual, you can see tangible results in front of you, you know, and say, like, you know what, I want to do what you're doing. I want to not only make the type of money you're making, but I also want to be in a position where I can manage it effectively. And I'm looking for advice in that regard. They're providing that for more from necessarily an opinion perspective. You still got to do your own due diligence. So I would then say, secondly, is educate yourself as much as possible. And this is a unique idea because most people don't even think about that. Where create a mastermind group of people that are just like you, that are maybe looking to learn the same thing that you're looking to learn. And you guys learn together. And it's not necessarily the blind leading the blind, but you guys go in there with an intention of learning new information so that you can still become in the know. Not necessarily taking their opinions, but you want to be in the know. The more you educate yourself, the better. And I always tell people, look, get a personal advisor that can be a macro manager for you, somebody kind of like myself, which is trained and able to help people look at the holistic picture, but then also bring their advisory team in context together so that they can ultimately make clear decisions. Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole adage about, you know, cash flow to cash flow is, and it's cash slow, S-L-O-W, where it's this, you know, is people are stuck, right? They're stuck in their own financial plan. They're stuck in their mindset. So that's where cash slow comes in. Then cash flow is the literate mindset, the abundance mindset, the person that has, you know, things working for them in the right manner in their financial plan. And that's what we want to get people to.
I agree completely. I really appreciate you taking the time to pour this information into people. I think your comments at the end there about where you can start now are so, you know, so helpful, because the old saying is a reader will become a leader. And there are so many resources at your library on Amazon in ebook form, downloadable, all those kind of things, that you know, we really do need to train ourselves and train our minds. So I really appreciate, you know, the practicality of the tips that you gave. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule today to share with people and help them be able to create greater and better cash flow in their life.
I really hope that all of you have really taken a lot of really great and really impactful things out of today's talk so that you can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Remember, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. And Kathy and I are here to help you so that you can live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best-kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority? Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people if you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets? What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Will you be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people. Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret.
get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to WeHelpYouThrive.com and click on